there. Now, there might be somebody in this room that's never heard the good news of salvation. Well, today you're going to hear it. It's a privilege to be able to share good news. And we have some good news today. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel that you've given to us. We thank you that we have that good news because of what your Son, our Savior, has done, shedding his blood for us. And we pray that each person in here would have ears to hear. We pray that we would hear your word and receive it. We thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, please open to Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. He said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the Lord is telling a parable, a story, and he's not really talking about seeds and planting and ground. In verse 15, we hear what he's talking about. At the end of the verse, where it's talking about the word that's sown, and it says Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So he's talking about something that can go into our hearts. And that's the subject of our young people's conference this year, having to do with the heart. I was wondering if anybody knows how many hearts you have. Raise your hand if you know. How many hearts do you have? Yeah, back there. Okay, you do have one heart that's inside here beating away, right? Does anybody have another heart? We all just have one? Well, I have two. I think, wow, he's a strange man. He's got two hearts. Do they beep, 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 beep? No, they don't do that. But you know what? You have two hearts too. But you didn't know that. You do. One of those hearts is your physical heart. We're going to talk about that for just a minute. Now, does anybody know where that heart is? The heart that that beats. Where is it? Can you point to it? Right here? Yep, right here. This is where your physical heart is, right underneath, right there. It's not on your leg or up here. It's right here. You got this heart. And what is that heart doing? You guys can talk. Go ahead. Pumping blood. That's right. It's a pump. It's an amazing, amazing pump. It's not the biggest muscle that we have, but it's a muscle. It's the hardest working muscle in our whole body. Does anybody know how big it is? Yeah. Size your fist. That's right. Can you make a fist? Make a fist and picture that underneath your skin right in there. Okay? And so it's pumping. Just like you've seen a pump work that maybe pumps water. Well, this thing, it pumps blood all through our body. What does it sound like? If you put a stethoscope up to your heart and listen, can anybody describe what it sounds like? Yeah. Lup-dup, 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 lup-dup. That's right. Very good. That's what it sounds like. You got to listen to it sometime. It's got a great sound. So this heart is beaten and beaten and beaten. And every time it goes lup-dup, 2 ounces of blood get pumped through it. And you think, well, that's not very much. 2 ounces every time, lup-dup, lup-dup. But I brought something here. I had to bring my Bahamian flag bag to remind me of the warm weather. And every minute that you're alive, your heart beats. This is how much your heart beats. Every single minute. This is 4 liters. 4 liters of blood. This isn't blood. This is fruit punch. But 4 liters of blood go pumping through your body. I was just astounded at that. It's amazing. That muscle is working really hard to get all of this pumping every single minute. And the average person's heart beats about 3 billion times in their lifetime. That's a hard-working machine. And that's your heart. Now, the other heart that I have and that you have is not a muscle. It's not something that you could see if you'd open up somebody. But it's called your spiritual heart. And the Lord talks about that spiritual heart almost 1,000 times in the Bible. It really is important to God for us to learn about this spiritual heart. And I've always been a little confused. People talk about our hearts, and I start thinking about this thing pumping, and I wonder, what really is that spiritual heart? Where is it? Can I look at it and touch it? Well, you can't. You can't look at it and touch it, but it's in you. It's that very center of who you are. It's the seat of your emotions, your passions, the wisdom that you have, all of that, it's what makes you you. That's your heart. It's what you care the most about. And so that's different than this thing that's pumping away, but it's really important to God. He says about Solomon that he gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart. So he gave him this heart that could understand things. He also said about Noah's day, way back in Genesis, he said that every imagination of the thoughts of people's hearts were only evil continually. So people have these thoughts of their heart, and they're evil. And I was wondering what condition your two hearts are in today. First, the physical heart. What's the condition of that heart? Did you ever wonder that? You ever wonder, I wonder how my heart's doing? I think some people have thought about it in this room. They've had to work through some problems with their heart. If your heart is in good shape, that means it's pumping this blood through every minute. You don't have any disease in your heart. It's just this regular beat. How does it go? Blood, dub, blood, dub, blood, dub, blood, dub, blood, dub. And it just keeps on going and keeps on going. And you've got oxygen being pushed through your body because of that heart. Now, if you have kind of a bad heart, then your heartbeat might be irregular and it might not beat the same every time. You might have some blockages around your heart that make it so the blood can't go where it's supposed to go. You might have a disease in your heart. You may even have a heart attack or heart failure sometime. And that's kind of scary. So that's the condition of the physical heart. But what about your spiritual heart? What condition is that in? My grandpa, my dad's father, when he was about 26 years old, when my grandpa was 26, he learned that he had something wrong with his physical heart. And he lived with that for 57 more years before he had a heart attack. But he always knew something was wrong, and he was just, any day, he thought he could have a heart attack. Our spiritual hearts also have something wrong with them. Every one of us has something wrong with our spiritual hearts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Okay, it's talking about stuff that we say comes out of our heart. Now, when I say things, it's not coming out of my physical heart, it's coming out of my spiritual heart. And so, for out of this spiritual heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's what's in your heart. That's what was in my heart. And you say, well, okay, evil thoughts. I'm a person. I can't. I probably don't have evil thoughts. Well, have you ever wished that something bad would happen to somebody else? And you're like, I just don't like that person. Well, that's an evil thought. Or you might say, well, I've never killed anybody. I would guess that nobody in this room has ever killed anybody. Maybe not. There may be somebody. Most people probably not. But have you ever wanted to? Sometimes you might want to kill your brother or sister. And you have that thought inside there. That comes from your heart. Adulteries and fornications. That's immorality. Maybe not many people have committed those things, but I'm pretty sure some people have thought about it. How about theft? Well, I don't go to a store and steal stuff. Yeah, but you may have stolen something from maybe your parents or your brother or somebody else. You didn't think it was too big of a deal. Well, that comes from your heart. This false witness is really lying. I remember when our oldest daughter was about 3 years old and she told a lie. And she really got affected by that. I think that's when she realized she was a sinner, because she was a liar. Probably everyone in this room has told a lie. Do you realize that comes from your heart? Blasphemy, saying things against God. God, why did you do that? That's the way our heart is. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's an amazing verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and it says desperately wicked. Another translation says it's beyond cure. It's incurable. It's saying our heart, our spiritual heart has a disease and you can't cure it. I can't cure it. It's a terribly diseased heart. And that's the way our heart is. In Acts, it says, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Do you believe what God's Word is saying about your heart? That your heart is not right? You got a disease? We are all sinners. We deserve God's judgment because we've sinned. We've offended Him. Now, when my grandpa learned that he had a problem with his physical heart, he went to a doctor. I said, Doctor, what do I do? And the doctor said, well, you know what we can do is we can give you some pills, some medication. And that'll just help calm things down for a while. And you won't really feel any different. Without the pills, you might feel things you don't like. But with that kind of helps settle things down. You know, with our spiritual heart, we kind of like to take pills too. When we start feeling guilty about our sin, we like to distract ourselves and keep ourselves entertained. Have something fun to do all the time so we don't have to think about those sins that we've been doing. And it kind of holds things back for a while. Do you know that in your physical heart you've got little tubes? They're going in and out of it. Does anybody know what those tubes are called? Two words. Come on, you smart kids. I know you're smarter than a fifth grader. All of you are. Yes. Arteries, that's right, one of them. What's the other one? Veins, does somebody say it? Okay, veins and arteries. So we got these, and they're tubes. So we got this thing that's pumping along. It's got these tubes coming out and coming into it. And as long as everything is free-flowing, it works great. You got the blood that can go right through it. Sometimes, though, we get this stuff in there, and it starts to kind of make it so there's not enough room for that blood to go through. And it blocks it all up. And that's what sin does in our spiritual heart. It blocks things up till eventually we die. But with this blockage that we have, sometimes when you have a physical heart problem like that, you go to the hospital and they'll do what's called bypass surgery. And they'll bypass that problem. So, okay, well, we'll just leave that there, but we'll make it so you can still do okay. Or they might, like, put a stent in. And I don't know too much about what all this is, but I think it kind of clears things out. Makes it so that the blood can flow through instead of having it all blocked up. A lot of people like to do that with their spiritual heart. They say, how can I get it cleaned up? And one favorite thing to do is a New Year's resolution. On January 1st, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be a good person. No more of that bad stuff. Nope. I'm going to be a better person. January 1st. I'm going to wait till then. Don't start now. Wait till then. And they do things to try to get all cleaned up. But it doesn't work. It doesn't last. These stents and bypasses, they don't fix anything really. Not for a long, long time. Sometimes people with their real physical heart, their beat is not working quite right. And so they find a real smart person to make something to put inside there called a pacemaker, and it makes it so it just beats. And a lot of people try to do that with their spiritual heart too. They say, all right, I'm not in pace with God, so what can I do to get back in pace with Him? I know, if I go to church every Sunday, that'll put me in pace with God. Maybe I'll keep the Ten Commandments. Maybe I'll get religion. And that'll get me right in pace with God. But it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. What you and I need is a heart transplant. You need a new heart. A brand new heart. Not somebody else's dirty heart. You need a heart that God can give you. There's a verse in Ezekiel. I'll just read it. Ezekiel 36:26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. God says, I want to give you a new heart. All right? Great. How do I get that new heart? Did you know that God has a heart too? God has a heart that's full of love. God loves you. And He's a real, real person. Do you know anybody who truly loves you? That truly, deep down, loves you? Somebody you can go up to and you give them a hug and you know that you are so special to them. Well, I want you to know that God loves you. He's not concerned with what you look like, what you smell like, how much money you have. He loves you with His whole heart. And He showed that by giving His only Son. He gave up His one and only Son. And Jesus came here to this earth and He gave His life for you. And He was hanging on a cross that men put Him on. And they put nails in His hands. And they put nails in His feet. And they put that crown of thorns on His head. And His real physical heart was beaten away. And all those holes that they made in Him, His heart was pushing that blood out. Pushing it out. And His blood was coming out. And as Paul prayed earlier about atonement, coming from the blood. That's exactly right. His blood that was coming out was paying for our sins. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He was giving His life as that blood came out. And then as He hung there and the world became dark, for 3 hours God unleashed unspeakable things on Him. And He suffered. He suffered for you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. If you don't have this underlined, I encourage you to underline verse 9. Verses 9 and 10. Think about this. Read it over and over. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we get that new heart that He wants to give us? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Realize that you are a sinner, that you got this diseased heart that's full of sin. And you need Him away. You need Him to wash those sins away. And He will do that. If we believe on Him. So I want to ask you again, what's the condition of your heart? Do you have this new heart? Or do you still have that old heart that needs to be transplanted to a new one. Have you guys ever seen in a hospital a screen? And on the screen, you see this line going, got wires hooked up to somebody. You see the wire, the line on the screen going, and all of a sudden it goes, whoop, and it goes like this, and whoop. It doesn't say that, but it does that. And keeps going like that. That's called a, does anybody know what that's called? I think it's called an EKG. I don't know what it stands for, but that's all I've heard of it. And if that is going like that, then that means everything's good. That's a good thing. But if you look at that screen and it's like this, that's not good. Not a good thing to see. It means that heart's not working right. Do you know what the good news of the gospel is? God's EKG. It shows the condition of your heart. When you hear the gospel, when you hear what just read from these words, and how you respond to that shows the condition of your heart. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Back in Mark 4, in this story about the farmer who's planting the seed, we're going to look at these backwards. In verse 8, it talks about him planting the seed, which is God's word, and it fell on good ground. That's a receptive heart. Receptive heart. Do you have a receptive heart? When you hear the words of the gospel, do you say, yes, I believe it. That's true. I know it. That was this good ground. You make it your own. Now in verse 7, it says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. You know, back in the day when the Lord was talking here, sometimes there would be a lazy farmer. And this lazy farmer, instead of pulling weeds, he would just kind of cut the weeds off, and then he'd get a fire and he would burn his field. So it looked all nice, and then he'd plant a seed. Well, what happened was, as soon as he planted that seed, in just a little bit, all the roots of those weeds were still down in there, and they would grow up real quick. And they would crowd out the good stuff that was planted. And that's what this is talking about, a crowded heart. A heart that's so preoccupied with everything else around it that it can't focus on what's real and what's true. You might have a crowded heart right here this morning. Your heart might be thinking about 100 different things, and you can't focus on God's Word, the most important thing. I pray you don't have a crowded heart. Now, verse 5 and 6, it talks about this Word falling on stony ground. When it falls on the stony ground, immediately it springs up, and then the sun comes up and it withers away. This is a shallow heart. A shallow heart has just a little bit of soil in there, and it grows real quick, but it doesn't last. It's impulsive. It says, oh yeah, that sounds good, I'll believe that. Oh, that sounds good, I'll believe that. The Lord doesn't want us to be shallow or impulsive. Last weekend, my wife and I had the privilege to go to Pennsylvania just for a couple days. And we went there to visit some of my friends from college that I hadn't seen for 20 years, some of them. And while we were there getting together with people, this woman came up to me who I'd gone to college with, and she said, you know, 20 years ago, one night, I had some questions. She was talking about herself. I had a few questions. Said, I asked you, you know, let's talk about these questions. And so she asked me some questions, and we looked at some verses. It was about being saved. She wasn't saved. She didn't know Jesus as her Savior. And so we looked at a few different verses, and she left and went back to her dorm, and she was looking at those verses. And then the next day, she said, I got my Bible, and I was looking at the verses again. And then the next day I was looking at the verses again and I was just thinking. And it came to me, she said, I realized this is true. This is true. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need to be saved. And she said, I believe this. She was kind of looking around, waiting for a lightning bolt or something to happen, and she didn't hear anything or see anything, so she went down the hall and found a girl that she knew was saved, and she said, I believe these words that I've been reading, and does that mean I'm saved? She said, yeah, you're saved. You believe it, you're saved. And from that day forth, her life just was changed. She was a totally different person. In fact, she came here to a young people's conference 1 year. Her name was Chris. And she was sharing that with me, and I was just thinking about, that's how it is. The Lord uses His Word, and we read it, and we take it in, and we think about it, and then it produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I encourage you, take a Bible. If you don't have one, I'll get you one. Take a Bible and read these words. Believe them. In one sense, I want to say, believe it now. You don't know if you have 10 minutes from now. But I want to encourage you to take your time to read it. Make it your own. Don't have a shallow heart. Now, verse 4, it talks about this seed that fell on the wayside. It talks about a hard ground. This is the one that really concerns me. Because I wonder if there's somebody in here with a hard heart. You might say, I've heard this and heard this and heard this. And this just isn't for me. And I don't know what he's really saying up there, and I want to think about something else right now. Because my heart is hard. It's a rock. And nothing's going to get into that. Oh, I just encourage you, don't have a hard heart. You know, the Lord wants to soften your heart because He loves you. He loves you and He wants you to be His child. Don't let your heart be hard. And that goes beyond just somebody who is not saved this year. Christians' hearts can get hard towards the Lord too. We can not really care about what He says anymore. I encourage all of us, including myself, don't let our hearts be hard. Keep them fresh. Let the Word of God do its work in our hearts so that we are ready to receive what God has to say to us. I believe the Lord is going to say a lot to young people over the next few days. And I pray that your hearts will be open and receive it. I also pray that if you're not the Lord's, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you would open your heart to Him. Then you will have a new heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a wonderful thing to be brand new, to be the Lord's. Does anybody have a song that we could sing? We have the chorus book here. I'd like to sing one song. 53? Thank you. 53. This is a song that my family used to sing when we went on road trips. This was our road trip song. That the promises in the book are ours. Thank you. Well, let's look to the Lord. Our Father, we thank You for having a heart of love for us and sending Your only Son to be our Savior. We thank You for providing salvation for us, a new heart, a way to know Jesus as our Savior and become your children. We pray that each one in this room would believe in you, would see their need as a sinner and trust in Jesus, the only one that can take their sins away. We look forward to heaven better than this, and it is because you are there, our Lord. We look forward to seeing you. We pray that you would bless the food we're about to eat. We thank you for it and those who have prepared it. We pray for your blessing on the rest of the day today. In Jesus' name, amen.